It's Mizmor Sadi Beis towards the end. Okay, we're up towards the end of the Mizmor on page. Okay, so we did the Mitzvot, but we did these last few Pesukim. The last Pesuk Yud, so page 840. Okay, good morning, Rav Kalman. Good morning, Rav Mordechai. Okay, we're on page 840, So we went to the Pesukim from 840 Pesuk Yud to the very end of the Mizmor. This is all about Shabbos. And we learned the Mitzudos, we learned Rashi, and we learned the Targum. Now let's touch up a couple of Indianim. Maybe the best thing for us to do is to look at the Mamor Chazal, because the Mamor Chazal basically is the makor for all of the Mefarshim. So we'll go to the source. Let's look on page 841. Ki hine ivech Hashem uvroiv ge'oncha taros chemecha, and in your exalted greatness, taharos to you, throw down kamecha those who rise up against you. This we say. This is an Oz Yashir. Hakadosh Baruch Hu, in Hakadosh Baruch Hu's exaltedness, Hakadosh Baruch Hu, he destroys the enemy. In your abundance, in your abundance of greatness, Ga'oin. Your exaltedness, taharos, do you trample? Do you throw down those who rise up against you? The Gemara's question is, v'chi yesh, kamim lefnei mishama v'hoi olam. How could you even say that? How could there even be such a concept where we can fathom that a creature can rise up against Hashem? How could there be such a thing? Lefnei mishama v'hoi olam. So what is the answer? That when it says those who rise up against you, it's not referring to rising up against Hashem. That's impossible. It is impossible even to say such words that a creature can rise up against the Ribbono Shel Olam. So the answer is when it says, we say in Oz Yashir, it means those who rise up against the Jewish people, against Klal Yisrael. That is possible. We're all human beings, and when we find our enemies, they make trouble. They pass resolutions in the United Nations, and they do other bizarre, crazy things where they're trying to rise up against the Jewish people. That's what it means. And someone who tries to do that, Hashem considers it an affront, an insult, as if they're trying to rise up against Hashem. So, you know, it doesn't really answer the question, but it definitely takes the sting out of the question. Really, they're rising up against the Jewish people. But Hashem takes it personally, it's as if they're rising up against Hashem. And where do you have a proof that such a concept is correct? In this Mizmor, Ki hinei oyevecha Hashem. What's going on over here? That your enemies, they're not on a madrigo. You're gonna go say that an ant, a cockroach, is the enemy of the Ribbono Shel Olam? They have nothing in common. You go say that if an ant, it's a nothing to the negative person. So what it means that if someone is trying to harm one of their contemporaries, it's as if Hashem loves them. It's as if Hashem takes it personally. It's as if they're trying to rise up against Hashem. That's what it says in Oz Yashir. That's what it says over here. Ki hinei ivech Hashem. Those people who rise up against Hashem, they are considered the enemy of Hashem. Okay, next page, the first medrash we already did. So we're going to skip down to the second medrash. The medrash is three lines down the page. Three lines down on the page is Ir HaTamarim. The Ir HaMelamed. Now, what is the Ir HaTamarim? I don't remember the context. The Pasuk Dvar Lamedalid Gimel. Hitzoyar. Lamedar. Remember the Pasuk? Lamedalid Gimel.
From where? From this
time? No. Ir HaTamarim.
Ir HaTamarim Masoah.
Right, so Lamedalid Gimel. What does it say over here in the Pasuk? The Es Hanegev. Okay, this is the Es Kol Naftali. Vayal Moshe Yavas. Very end. Vayal Moshe. This is a Chosan Torah. Adon. The ace called Naphtali, the Eretz Ephraim, Umen Hashem, the ace called Eretz Yudah, Ad Hayam Ho Acharon. The Es HaNegev, Hashem showed Moshe the Negev. The Es HaKikar, the Kikar is the plain, Bikas Yerecho, the valley of Yerecho. Ir Yerechoi is called the Ir HaTamarim Ad Tsoar. Okay, so it seems that Pasuk Gimel is there. Let's see if there's a Rashi over here. Pasuk Gimel. Pasuk Bebeis, Viesa Negev, Viesa Kikar. There is no Rashi on this. Hereu, Shlomo Yotze, Kli Beis HaMikdash, Shnem Bekikar HaYardin, Yitzhak HaMelech, Leves, no, but it doesn't explain over here. Bikas Yerechoi, Ir HaTamarim. So it seems that Yerechoi is called the Ir HaTamarim. If I'm not mistaken, and now we hear the Chazal, Irat Malamit She Hero Gan Eden Vitzadikim Mitailim Bo. The Ribbono Shel Olam showed Moshe Rabbeinu. This was the vision that Moshe desperately wanted to enter into Eretz Yisrael. Hashem said to Moshe, "You're not going to enter, but I'll show you the land." And he took him up to the top of the mountain, and he showed him the land, and he showed him the Ir HaTamarim. So what is that? Malamit. So the Medrash says, Malamit She Hero Gan Eden. Hashem showed Moshe Gan Eden, v'tzadikim mitaylim bo, the tzadikim were walking about in Gan Eden, shemishulim bitmarim. Why is it called the ear? Remember, because tzadik katomor yifrach.
It just tamarim grew there, that's why they were called ear tamarim.
That's the very simple interpretation. But everything has ayin panim l'toira. Look, even Rashi on Chumash. Rashi on Chumash, it's interesting. Rashi didn't say this part of the Medrash. Rashi was very selective. On the end of the Zos HaBracha, Vayal Moshe, he went up to Amei'arvasmav al-Har Nevo, and Hashem showed him. And Hashem showed him all of these things. Then Rashi goes on to tell us all the Midrashim. Okay, it says he showed him Eskol Aretz, Her'eyu Eskol Eretz Yisrael. B'shalvasa, the Hamatzikin, how Asidin Lios Matzikin Law, he showed Hashem showed Moshe all of the oppressors. Hashem showed Moshe Eretz Yisrael in difficult times when our enemies were causing us pain. Adon, Herahu Bneidon Oivdim Avodazara, Shenemar Vayakimu Lachem Bneidon Esapesel. Herahu Shimshon Shaasil Lotzeis Mimenu Hashem Shod Moshe Alpiruch Hakodesh Shimshon Agibor. Okay, V'yes Kol Naftol Herahu Aretzo B'Shalvo V'Churbono. Herahu Devoira Hashem Shod Moshe Devoira and Barak and the whole story. Mikedesh Naftoli Nilchavim Im Sisra V'Chayloisav V'yes Eretz Efraim Menashe Herahu Aretzam B'Shalvoso V'Churbono. The Herahu Yehoshua, Hashem showed Moshe Yehoshua Nilcham in Malchi Canaan, Sheba Me'Ephraim, Yehoshua came from Ephraim, the Gidoin, Hashem showed Moshe, the Shofet Gidoin, Sheba Menashe, Nilcham in Midian the Amalek, the Eskoleres Yehuda Beshalvot of Rabban, the Haro Malchus Beis David, the Nitzchoinam. He goes all different things he showed him. And then like this Hanegev, the Doron, Dovracher, Maris Machpelah, okay. V'yes HaKikar, he showed Moshe Rabbeinu Shlomo HaMelech, who was busy crafting the Kalim of the Beis HaMikdash in the area of Yerichai. Herahu Shlomo Yotze Kli Beis HaMikdash, Shenemar B'Kikar, Hayardain Yitzakam, Hamelech b'ma'ave ho'adama, with the earth. Then that's where Rashi stops. And Rashi does not explain every single word of this pasuk, what Hashem showed Moshe at the time of his death. And here we'll zoicha to learn this over here today in Tehillim, where it says over here, Tzadik katamor yifrach, a tzadik is compared to a Tamar, and it's telling us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe Rabbeinu Gan Eden, and why is Gan Eden, why is the word Tamar a code word for Gan Eden, because who lives in Gan Eden? The tzaddikim. And the tzaddikim are compared to tamarim. How do you know a tzaddik is called a tamar? How do you know that the code word for ir tamarim is Gan Eden? Tzaddik katamar yifrach. So at least we will learn one thing today, that the ir tamarim is Gan Eden, that is occupied by tzaddikim that are nimshulu to tamarim. That's the takeaway from this medrash. Next, Mishloishim v'shaloish midos ha'agoda nidreshes bohem. Okay, now we know how many when we daven, if we come early on time, we say the Mishmoloimer b'shloish esrei midos ha'Torah nidreshes. There are 13 midos which the Torah is nidreshes. Now that is the shita of Rabbi Yishmael. But there are other opinions. There are other Tanoim which have a different set of numbers for how many midos there are in the Torah. And here it presents an opinion that there are 33 midos. Shahatar nidreshes, mishloishim v'shaloish midos ha'hagodah nidreshes bohen. Now this is interesting because over here it says ha'hagodah. Now there is, I always like to talk about this, is that there are two different spadis of works, the Makoros of Torah Shebal Peh. One is Medrash Halacha, and the parallel is Medrash Agoda. Everyone knows we have the Medrash Rabbah, what we call the Medrash Rabbah. That's the base, that is the mother of all Midrashim. As Ramachal, is that correct? There are other Midrashim. There is the Tanchuma, there is a whole collection of works that were done in early times, some of them were later, some of them were really just Likutim of the earlier works, but the classic is the Medrash Rabbah. The Medrash Rabbah is Divrei Agodah. What is the Halacha? Hagodah, there's something called Medrash Halacha. What is Medrash Halacha? The basic Medrash Halacha, Mechilta, the Sifra and Sifrei. What is Mechilta? Mechilta is Halacha starting with Parshas Bo. HaChodesh Hazeh Lechem Rosh Chodeshim. There is no Medrash Halacha on Chumash Bereshis and the first half and the beginning of Chumash Shemos, because there are no mitzvahs. Even though I know you'll find me mitzvahs, the Sefer Chinuch will find you a few mitzvahs, Ginanoshe, Priya Revia. You'll find a couple of things here and there, but it's not enough to make a book. And therefore, the Medrash Halacha begins with Achodesh Hazeh Lochem in Chumash Shemos with Parshas Bo. And from Parshas Bo to the end of Chumash Shemos is called Mechilta. Then the Medrash Halacha in Chumash Vayikra is called the Sifra, or otherwise known as Taras Kohanim. It's the same thing. It's called two different Thai names. Either it's called the same book, either it's called Taras Kohanim, or it's called the Sifra, the book, with a capital B, the book. And then there's something called Sifrei plural, two books. And that refers to the Medrash Halacha of Bamidbar and the Medrash Halacha of Devarim. And that's it, three books. And then there are others. There's competition, but they're not as significant as the Mechilta, the Sifra, and the Sifrei. That is pure halacha. What to do? Taryag mitzvahs. And then there's another world called Agoda, Divrei Agoda, and the two are not mixed together. You see, the Talmud Bavli broke all the rules. Talmud Bavli brought together in one work halacha and Agoda. They were included together, they were synthesized together in one work, Talmud Bavli, Bavli Miloshen of Bolal, of being all mixed together. You learn a Daf Gemara, you can find a Daf Gemara Halacha, and you can find Agoda, or at least as you go through many Daf Gemara, you'll come across it together, you'll come across Psukim, you'll come across, it's a big mix, it's a big chalant. Talmud Bavli, by design, was a chalant of all different types of limudim, all different types of concepts. But before the Talmud Bavli was printed, was composed by the Amoraim, you were not allowed to do that. Hayluchud v'hayluchud. Halacha is halacha, and agada is agada. In Medrash Rabbah, there is no halacha. It is pure agada. In the Mechilta, the Sifra, and the Sifrei, there is no agada. It is pure law, pure analysis of psukim, using Torah Shebaal Peh to understand what is the law. There's no homiletics. There is no musar. That was separated for Medrash. That was separated for Medrash, for Medrash Rabbah, for Medrash Agodah. I used to tell you once.
I think that when Medrash uses the term halacha, they mean, as a general rule, like halacha, based on some ASYAM.
Okay, I'm getting.
Just aside.
Okay.
Rabbi, that is false. That if
The Rif also cites Agada. I think the Rif also cites Agada. Oh, the Ein Yaakov is a much more recent thing, right? The Ein Yaakov only is just extracted from the Gemara, just the Divrei Agada. Only Halacha? I'm not so sure. Are you sure about that? He takes out the Shach V'Tariyah. He takes out the Havayis, the Abayi V'Rava, but I think he also includes Divrei Agada. I'm not sure. Not a little bit. Not. Okay, I don't know. I'm not sure. Are you saying good?
Svardi, they only learned the Rif. They didn't learn Bavli.
Right. The Tekuvas and Klal Yisrael, it was not popular to learn the Talmud. They learned the Rif. They took out the Havayis, Abayi V'Rava. True. Okay, I want to challenge someone with now, Daf Yomi, and this would be this side. I don't see anyone who makes it safer, but it would be a very interesting work to do, where we have a principle. Every word of the Gemara is MS. Every single letter in the 2,711 Daf Gemara is pure, unadulterated MS, and that's why many people, without even realizing it, enjoy learning a Daf Gemara, because you sense this is true. You go watch a beautiful multimedia movie, okay, with the best of the best actors and the best technology. You don't get as much satisfaction, because deep down inside, you know everything that you're watching is sheker. It's make-believe. Everything is make-believe. The whole world of Hollywood is one big world of fantasy land. And the neshama is very sensitive. The neshama can pick up what is emes, what is sheker. So therefore, people don't really find the ultimate satisfaction in all of these things. Where does a person find the ultimate satisfaction in a daf gemara, even if it seems to be boring? Ashar shenogach es hapara. Every single letter is emes. Question. Very often, the gemara goes through, a whole daf gemara, and at the end of the whole daf gemara, the gemara says, Elo. We have a problem, and because of the problem, we have to basically abandon the last three Daf Gemara. We went through it, we built up this, and we kept on challenging it, and we were able very cleverly to avoid a refutation to our principles. But at the end of the day, the Gemara says, Ella, you got me. And because you got me, Ella, we have to abandon the last three Daf. I always tell, we learn that we have an ongoing joke. Whenever the Gemara has a Maisa, I have a person that sponsors a Kiddush in honor of there being a Maisa. And the Gemara tells you, a Maisa, a story. And whenever the Gemara says Ella, and we have to abandon the three Daf Gemara, I sponsor a Taina Sibur. Because the Gemara has abandoned everything we've done, is gone out the window. So Chazal say, no, not so fast. So it's gone out now. In fact, the Rif, because of this, because the Gemara goes through, you can go through many, many sugyas, and the Gemara keeps on going, and then the Gemara, Ella, goodbye. So the Rif says, so why do we bother learning it? That's not the Gemara's maskana. So the Rif cut out with a sharp knife the whole Shach V'Tariyah, the Havayis, the Abayi V'Rava, took it all out. What's the bottom line? How could you do that? But why? So the question is a very good question. Why then did the Gemara bother telling us all the whole back and forth? When at the end of the day, we're not at the end of the day, we're not going to accept it. So the answer is, this is a very important answer. Every hava mina of the Gemara is MS, just not in this situation. It's MS, the concept of what the Gemara presents, even though ultimately it will be rejected, is 100% MS, just not in this sugya. Somewhere else in Shas, the concept, the svara that was presented, there it has its place, and there it remains permanently. So
that came very much into play this week.
Shivsa, the Gemara had a Hav Amina that Bizmanehem, that Purim should be celebrated on day 16 and day 17. And then the Gemara rejected that. V'lo Yavar. So if that's the case, why did the Gemara even bother bringing down the Hav Amina? Why tell us this information?
It's not the actual halacha that's coming out. It's the Havamin is the logical...
A concept.
The logical thought process
right.
is there.
Is there. And that is MS. But not only is it MS, it's even more than MS. It has an application in a different sugya.
Right.
So now my challenge is, someone should come along and make a sefer. This will be a great sefer. To make it safer, to go through every you take out the riff, you work with the riff, take out the riff, and look at everything that the riff has rejected, every line that the riff has rejected, and show me you'll be a bucky muflug in Shas, show me where the concept that the Gemara rejected has a real practical application somewhere else in Shas. If the Gemara it has a svar and the Gemara rejects this svar, okay, but and the riff therefore because the Gemara rejected the riff, took it out. In order when you chaz the Gemara, just what's the bottom line? Show me where else in which mesechta, in which sugya, this exact concept appears and remains. It remains in force. It remains alive and is necessary to. To understand what it says in the Gemara, and it is a practical, the result is a practical consideration that's the halacha. Has to be somewhere, based upon all of these rules, but someone has to come along and make such a sefer and show you. That would be a very
interesting
idea.
Baruch
Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Nehiyeh
Bidvarei. It's going to go the same way, trying to line up the 11 Shvat.
Well,
you'll stop after about five.
The Radak at least gave five, right? He at least gave, and he told you do the rest. He told you do the rest. Okay, I told you, I'm sure I said, so new, you're saying there are 24 pieces of jewelry correspond to the 24 Sifrei Tanakh. New, match them up. Go match up the 24 pieces of jewelry that a Kala wears to the 24 ornaments, to the 24 Sifrei Tanakh. He told me, I have to think about it. He didn't reject it. I have to think about it. Any event, coming back over here, we are dealing over here, so why I tell you all this? Because over here you see a little bit of a taste that there are Yud Gimel Midos Shahatara Nidreshes. L'cho'ira, those Yud Gimel Midos Shahatara Nidreshes of Rabbi Shmuel, then Rabbi Chia, are dealing with the Medrash Halacha,
right. The
Mechilta, the Sifra, the Sifrei. But then there are midoy shahatara nidreshes in the world of Agoda. Agoda has a whole different set of rules. And that's what it says over here in this medrash. This medrash over here on page 842 says it's four lines down after it gets wide in the medrash, Likutei Shas, Mishloishim vishaloish midoys ha-hagoda nidreshes bohen. There are 23 midoys that Ha-Hagodah of Hagodah, which is the same as Agodah Nidresh as when Midaber, Shehukash, L'shtei Midois, the Ata Nosin Lo Koach HaYofesh Bishtehen Ketzat. Now what is this? Let's look at the example, then we can go back and read the words. What is this? We'll just skip that part and read it. Tzadik Katomor Yifroch Ki Erez Balevonoin Yiske. Yachal, I would think a shame, Shatamar in Leitzel, the oisin mimenu kalim, just like a tamar, a palm tree does not produce shade. That is a very great deficiency of a tamar. You go to Eretz Yisrael, the first thing you notice when you come to Eretz Yisrael, all the palm trees, right? You get out of the airport, oh, look at this. I guess I'm not in New York anymore. When you come out of the airport in Eretz Yisrael, it's one of the first things you notice is there are the trees, they're not your American trees or whatever they're called over here. They are palm trees, and they don't produce much shade. They really don't produce all that much shade. So therefore, Shatamar ein loitzel, the oisin minenu kelin, and what do they use? Palm trees, lulavim. You take a lulav, you make a basket. You make baskets out of them. Kach hatzadik, so too I would think that a tzadik does not provide shade, and you make out of a tzadik kelin. I don't know what this means exactly, but I guess what it means, shade means he does not provide protection. A tzadik does not provide protection for people, whatever, at least spiritually. Tamaloimar, no, ki eres balavonon yiske. An eres provides shade. It does provide shade. Oy, ma eres ein oise peyos. Oh, but an eres, although it has nice big branches and a lot of leaves and provides shade, but it does not produce fruit. So that's one of the 33 midos that ha-hagodah is nidreshes. This is not a halacha. We're dealing over here that a tzaddik, ha-tamar, yifrach, ki-eres, ba-alvan, and yiske. We can all appreciate that this is not a matter of halacha. This is a matter of agodah, that a tzaddik is of value to this world. And what is the value? Well, we have two psukim, and each pasuk is providing its maila, but that does not mean that the chesroinos of each item also are transferred to the tzaddik. Each item that presents itself to be used as a metaphor for a tzaddik is only presenting its positive qualities. It is not presenting its negative qualities. And how do we define this concept? So the concept is, Shehugash l'shtei midos v'ata. It's compared to two different metaphors. Two different items are being used as a metaphor. But what is the rule? Everything has milos and chesroinos. When we compare to two midos, we only extract from each one its mila, its advantage. And don't take with it the koyach of limitation, of disadvantage. That when Mora talks about darshim, the yud gil midrash atonei dreshes, kal v'choymer, a binyanav, a gezer shava, a hekish, do you ever have such a concept? No, you don't. Because there are different sets of rules for darshaning halacha, and there are different sets of rules for darshaning agoda, ha'iluchud v'ha'iluchud. Always I tell you, Rav Yosher Bar Soloveitchik was very unique in what he did. If you notice, Rav Yosher Bar Soloveitchik, his divrei agoda is usually built on a halacha. This is something that is novel. It's not just Rav Yosher Bar Soloveitchik. Rav Simcha Soloveitchik told me all of the Soloveitchiks, they did this. And it was just like they did it without even thinking. Generally, you go to the svarm store and you go look at a svarm. There are two different types. You go, there's halacha, and there's agada, and the halacha, you know, falpel pulpulim in halacha. Agada, when you buy a sefer on Yoni Pesach, in Yoni Purim, they'll take midrashim, and they'll darshan, they'll expound. They will, you know, they'll build up a medrash. Rav Soloveitchik and many members of his family, when they speak agoda, they take a halacha. Or labo osar boitki mesachametz lor haner. They'll take a halacha, and from the halacha they will bring out musa, a dvar musa. That's not common. That's not common. You need to be very, very great to do that. Ha'iluchud v'ha'iluchud. And the truth is that it's not traditional what they do. Because the fact is Chazal have broken up Halacha and Agada into two different works. This Medrash Halacha, Mechilta Sifra Sifrei, and this Medrash Agada, Medrash Rabbah. And look, this compounds what we just learned. When it comes to Medrash Halacha, Rabbi Shmuel Omer, B'yud Gimel Midos, Hatara Nidreshes. And then there's the rules of Rabbi Chiya. I think Rabbi Chiya says there are 24 rules, Shatara Nidreshes. The Gemara mentions the rules of Torah Shebal Peh of Rabbi Chiya, which has many more. And now we learn over here that when it comes to Divrei Agada, it has its own set of rules. And the number is 33. So Hayaluchud, the Hayaluchud. We don't mix these things together pretty much. And we saw over here at least one example of two different items coming forward and providing the best they have as a donation for a third item. The tzaddik is getting a donation from the tamar, and the tzaddik is getting a donation from the eretz. Each one has its milah. Now, derech agav, what else do we learn from this medrash? We can extract. We keep on comparing the eretz. We look at the eretz with different milahs. Rashi taught, or really, which was the first? The first medrash we learned was gizoy machalif. Every one of it, this is really the third time, the third different chazal we learned when we've done this. We've come over here to tell us about the tzaddik, and each of the three memory chazal gives us a different maila of the eres. The first chazal we learned told us that the maila of the eres is it gizoy machalif. If you cut the trunk, it grows back. Nothing will stop it. The second mila we learned was it has thick roots relative to the tamar that has weak, thin roots. And now we learned the third mila of the eres, it produces tzel. It produces shade. And the tamar, fruit, that was this consistent. We've been consistent. The tamar has the mila, it produces fruit. But it does not produce much shade. It does not have thick roots, and it does not have the advantage of gizoy machalef. Take all of the midrashim together, the mile of the eres has these three things: thick roots, shade, and gizoy machalef. What is its chisoroin? It does not produce fruit. And that is why we have to come on to the tamar, it produces fruit. As I mentioned to you, that on Tisha B'Av, we are focusing only on the element of the eres. Arzei halavonoin adirei hatorah. Because on Tisha B'Av, they were cut down. They were not focusing on their fruit. We're focusing on the asara, harugei malchus, were cut down, and they will, we're giving a nechama that gizoy machalif. Don't worry, they're coming back. They're coming back, gizoy machalif. They produce shade, and they have thick roots, and you have to understand how that relates to Tisha B'Av. Okay, let's now go to the next Mamre Chazal. Next Chazal is...
But he continues here,
Lamanim... Oh, no, I'm not sure. Lamanim Shalom Tomorrow move over Razim. Sha'atamadim va'erez im niktitsu einam oilim.
So he's going against it. It's
Gizomach. Oh, let's see. Okay, I didn't realize that. And finish this. So he actually says there's no gizay machlof unless you're going to say that there's a difference in concept between, we have to know what it means. What does it mean exactly, gizay machlof? Gizay machlof is not the same thing of einam of niktitsu. There's something called niktitsu einan oilin, which I guess means if you cut the trunk, it's not growing back. But if you cut a branch, there is some portion of the tree that you cut an erez will not grow back, and a tamar will grow back. It doesn't mean the trunk. Ein achanam. Gizay machalif means, I guess, when you take out a lulav, you know, a palm tree, there's a certain section of the tree that if you cut off, it will grow back. And that is only true by an erez, and it's not true by the tamar. But there's a different concept called niktzitzu. Niktzitzu means if you cut it down on the bottom, you cut it on the trunk, then it's not growing back. And that is common to both the erez and the tamar. And what is the Musa Haskel? There is no replacement for a tzaddik. When a tzaddik leaves this world, that's it. His mark, his unique nature, his unique contribution can never be replicated. Every tzaddik has a unique koyach. You go into the Svarim store, and there are so many books, so many biographies on Gedolei Yisrael. And they're all different. I take offense with people who say that art school is this. People say this. I can tell you for sure, they've never read a biography from cover to cover from art school. People say all the time, art school whitewashes the lives of the Gedolei Yisrael. They whitewash their lives. Ad kedei kach. I once read a whole article in one of the newspapers a while ago, whether it was the Hamadiyah or the Ated. They interviewed, I think it was Rabbi Meir Zlatowitz, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. They interviewed him, or maybe it was his son. I'll tell you what he said in the second. But basically, what is the argument that people make is if you take an art scroll book and you take off its cover, basically you can put any name on it. You can put Rav Yaakov, Rav Moshe, Rav Rudov, you name it. You did Altov Slobodka, Rav Pam. Just basically take off the cover, the picture. Have beautiful covers. Rav Meir Zlatowitz said, anyone who says, don't judge a book by its cover, never try to sell a book. Okay, the cover makes a very big difference. In any event, the argument is the books have been sanitized and have been whatever, and they're all the same. It is so not true. And anyone that says that, ask them point blank, how many art scroll biographies did you read? Ask them. When I was younger, I used to read them, and they're very different. They're so different. Number one, they're very different in just who was the author, who wrote the book. They have a whole team of people, and you know, their style of writing, and their approach to understanding. They're very different. The authors are very different. Yishol Besser, Nachum Seltzer, Rosenfeld, Jonas and Rosenblum. He writes in Hamishpacha. Jonas and Rosenblum, and then there are a whole collection of them. They're very different. And then I've noticed is that there are some of them that for example, Rav Dessler. So who wrote Rav Dessler? I think it was Rav Jonas and Rosenblum. I think he writes in the very beginning that this is not a real biography because I never met him. I never saw him. I never met him. I don't know who he is. I did research. He died a long time ago in Eretz Yisrael. I don't know anything about him. It's a research project. And there's a certain, you don't know the person. And then some of the biographies, the people who wrote the biographies personally know. I know him. This was my uncle, my grandfather.
There's a difference between if it's a historical book or just a...
Right. And also, over time, if you've noticed, over time, now in the 21st century, no one has any patience. Everyone's brains are shot. And they have to spice up the book. The old books, all the old art school books, how do they begin? Once upon a time in a shtetl you've never heard of, far, far away, there was an elderly couple, they were poor, dirt poor, and a child was born. It's very, very boring. And then you got to get halfway through the book, until, now you become a little more familiar. Today, they wouldn't even dare do that. Today, any biography that they write, any biography they write, you know where it starts from, the first chapter? From today. They start from the present. They start from the most interesting thing, and then somehow in the middle of the book, they go back and they tell you about his childhood. Today they're very sophisticated. The books today that are written, the biographies, they're different. Not the writing is not necessarily better, and the koyach of the book is, but the approach to keep your attention, to grab your attention, and not, so you shouldn't let go, it should be a page turner, is very much part of what is necessary. So anyone that says, and also when you read the book, I mean, they're very different people. They're Moshe Feinstein and Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky have almost nothing in common. Sorry to tell you. You read the book, they have almost nothing in common. Completely, completely different people, completely different worlds. So how are we getting over here? Why am I telling you this? Because over here, this is what it says in the Medrash. Tzadik katama yifrach ke'erez balavonon yiskeh. We just went through this Medrash. This is sort of the third round. The third time we came across this concept. We need two different metaphors, a tamar and an erez. And each one so far has been providing for us what the other one is lacking. And this Medrash concludes, but by the way, they do have one common denominator. And that is if you take a chainsaw and you cut it down from the bottom, it's not coming back. There's no, it cannot be, there's no, what is the metaphor? There is no replacement. Every tzaddik is unique. You cannot take off the covers of the article biographies and interchange them. And anyone that says that, I'm willing to bet you, did not read even one book, or did not read at least two or three of them. They're all very, 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 very different. They get a very different flavor of people, very different hashkafas. Now, just going back as far as he said, the complaint that it's whitewashed. So he says something which is not accurate, because they write on the book, not what he said. He says, these are not biographies. These are books of inspiration. And we're not here to go hang up everyone's dirty laundry. Okay, when you start talking about people, automatically, you know what the way the world goes. There are always controversies, and there are always issues. Even the greatest of the great have plenty of controversies. And not everyone, whatever it is, we're not here to go and hang up everyone's dirty laundry. We're here to give inspiration. And giving inspiration is to extract certain milos about the person and present it, and ignore all of the controversies. And therefore, it is not a biography. It is not, even though on the book it says biography, even though it does say on many of the books, it does say the word biography. He said, I think it was either Rav Meir Zlatowitz or his son Gedalia, these are not biographies, because this cannot possibly be a complete sketch of the person in any way, because everyone has certain things which are controversial, and we're not here to go do that. You don't like it, so don't like it.
So, what is more inspiring if I tell you that somebody grew up in a house of Talmud Torah where Torah permeated the environment day and night?
They don't do that. That's not really... That's.
Or is that more inspiring? Or is it more inspiring if I tell you about somebody who was a noted scientist, physicist, he pursued a master's degree?
To each his own.
He pursued a PhD, and with all of that, he is the Talmud Chacham Otzum. Which is more inspiring to today's generation?
It's not the person who's reading it.
It depends on so many factors. It depends on who's reading. It depends on the quality of the writing. And the way it's presented, and the truth of what is the message that you're trying to bring out, there are a million variables. There are a million of variables. Okay, it's not something that is possible. There's a very famous book about one of the Soloveitchiks. I have it. It is so delicious. I'm related to the Soloveitchiks by marriage. Okay, my uncle. My aunt is married to a Soloveitchik. And I spoke, and this book was written about a person in the family. And it's an amazing book, but most of the Soloveitchiks will not touch it. They will not touch the book. Because it says there are a lot of things that are not meant for the masses.
There's a lot of true things.
Of course they're true. Of course they're true. That's why it's so interesting. What if they can write lies? Then it's of course they're true. But not everything does the whole world have to know. Not everything. There are things that it's none of your business.
It's one of your favorite books.
Well, unfortunately, it's one of my favorite because it paints a real sketch of a person, and art school would never touch. It's none of your business. Rightfully so. What? And they're very upset. Why did this person have to go and spill the beans and tell people all these things that are not? The whole world doesn't have to know all what goes on.
It's very, very interesting. That's
of course, Lashon Hara is delicious.
The sister of the...
You know the book. Okay, I have the book on the shelf. It's an unbelievable book. Many people ask me to borrow the book.
Some of these inspirational biographies, whatever you want to call them, have been reviewed by the family before. But do you want to know something? There are other family members who are not so
happy with
on board with right. everything. I happened to know of one that was being written, and there was a whole bunch of sons. Some of the sons
were okay with it, some were not.
Right.
Look, Rav Hutner, there's nothing really, there's only one thing that's been written by Rav Hutner. Only one. It's a book that has really three, I have it somewhere at home. There's only one. No one ever put out a real
tradition.
An article, but there's no. Someone who wrote something really, really good. It's a third of the book. There are three. I have it at home. I have to go look it up. But no one put out. But that book is also. But no one put out like an art school. No one put out like an art school type of book about Rav Hutner. Why not?
Family
so, I don't know. I can't tell you firsthand. Maybe the family is very makbid. His daughter, she passed away last year. Rebbetzin Brewer David and the yeshiva, they're very makbid. So you're makbid. So I'm a Talmud. I can do whatever I want.
Is there a book on Rav Aaron Shechter
already? No, there's not. Not yet.
Maybe it's a
Chaim. No, I don't think so. I think because Rav Hutner was a more controversial person. I think that's the reason why. And Hamevin Yavin, Aaron Rakefet gave a harav, hagoin harav. Aaron Rakefet, he should be gesund and well. My Rebbe, a kanoi, Shane Kamo, he gave shiurim for over 6 months, every week, about Rav Hutner. And he said things there, I thought I knew it all.
About
him? Yeah, his life. I thought I knew it all. I knew nothing. The things that he said are... Really, like, come on. It's hard to believe some of the things that he said. But once you start writing about people, you're getting into a lot of trouble. What?
And don't write at all about it.
No, you can write the lessons. What's the takeaway? There are some incredible, beautiful things. Every person has, you have to have everything. There are certain...
No, you need things to inspire people.
Right.
That people should know that if they do go to college and they pursue
okay.
a degree, they're not...
Are you talking... You talk,
this group
all right.
That group.
That's a separate issue. We're talking about... We're talking about... There are certain amounts. Point is, the only little point I wanted to make over here is here it says in the Medrash, there is a tzaddik, it's a very famous pasuk, tzaddik katomar yifrach. Okay, what's that?
All right,
that's right. It's a very different one. Inspires now. It's a whole different world today. You got to go talk to these. Tzadik katama yifrach. The only thing I want to take away over here is tzadik katama yifrach ke eres balavanan yisker. We have two different items. Each one is lacking what the other one has, and that is why the pasuk is putting the two together. It's the common denominator of the three mamori chazal that we have come across. But this mamori chazal adds a bomb. And it says, but guess what? There is a common denominator. If you cut down the tamar and the eres from the bottom, it doesn't come back. There's no replacement. Each tzaddik.
Don't we have a gemara on that about how high you can cut something off?
And could be.
Generate,
that l'chora is the chilik between gizay machalif and koitzetz ve'ena oila. There are two different terms. High l'chud v'high l'chud. In Niktzitzu Einon Oilin, not to be confused with the term Gizoy Machlif. kacha tzadikim in nixitzu miyuchol alois b'mekayimam. Miyitin lanu tumur osoy. You see, when someone rachmal and some tzadik dies, they write in the hespedim, or they write and know the announcements that he died. Miyitin lanu tumur osoy. Who will give us a replacement for him? It's an expression. There is no replacement. Every tzaddik has a unique flavor. And it's okay, so there's someone that'll take his place. No such thing. No such thing. Next. Pasik, next Mam Chazal, Od Yinuv Meseva. Rabbi Nohorai Omer, Maniach, this is the famous Gemara in Mesechta. Where is in Mesechta Kiddush? Everyone knows this Gemara. Rabbi Nohorai, who is Rabbi Nohorai? Rabbi Meir. Meir means light. Maybe we should start calling you Meir Abeldorf, Nohorai Abeldorf. Nohorai Omer, Maniach ani kol umanush shebo'olam ve'eini melamed es b'ni ela Torah. Okay, this is a very famous Gemara in the yeshiva world. Okay? Betzalel, don't go to college. Don't open up. Nothing. Torah, Torah, Torah. Okay? Not exactly, right? Maniach ani kol umanush shebo'olam ve'eini melamed es b'ni ela Torah. Sha'adam eichel mischara. Why? Because Torah person eats mischara ba'olam hazeh v'akeren kayem esloi la'olam haba. What does that mean? What's the sechar ba'olam hazeh? There's no money. I guarantee you, there is no money to be made in Torah. Torah is not the they say Torah is the best sechara. Baloney. There's no money to be made in Torah. Anyone that's making money from Torah, there's something wrong. They're not doing it right.
There's something wrong, but
they're not doing it right. Someone's
it's
making
not in the book.
What?
It's not in the book.
Not in the books. They're doing something wrong.
Yeah, of course.
They're doing something wrong. They're not the real deal. Okay. So what does it mean then? It means, I guess what it means is, Rabbi, I guess what it means is that if you learn Torah, you for real, of course, you live an ethical life. You live a life of satisfaction. You live a life of the people that are involved in Torah. There are challenges. There are a lot of challenges. You learn all these different professions. I know the nasty joke I always tell you is that there was in the Olam HaEmes there was Gan Eden and Gehenim are next to each other, and there's a wall that separates the two, and there was a crack in the wall, and the heat of Gehenim was escaping into Gan Eden, and all of a sudden it wasn't so comfortable in Gan Eden. No, they had a nice temperature control. It was pleasant, and now all of a sudden it's getting very hot. It's getting very hot in Gan Eden because the heat of Gehenim is escaping. The wall. So they told Gehenim, fix the crack, fix the crack in the wall. And the people in Gehenim said, no, you go pay to fix the crack. So they went to a Din Torah in the Bez and Shalmaila. And after the deliberating back and forth, they paskin that Gan Eden has to pay for the expenses. Gehenim wins, Gan Eden loses. They have to make a collection from the Gevirim in Gan Eden to pay for the renovation, to repair the wall, to prevent the heat from escaping from Gehenim to Gan Eden.
It doesn't sound right. There should have been a
pshara. No, there was no pshara. The Psak Halacha of the Bezin Shalmaila, I told you the shock 10 times, don't remember the shock. The Psak Halacha was the Bezin Shalmaila that Gan Eden has to pay. So this story trickled down to the mikvah here in this world, and among all the gossip mongers, and they were talking in shul, And so one guy said, of course Gehenim won. They got the best lawyers.
Same thing.
There's
a fight between them, and then so Gehenim says, "Where are you guys
going to
get a lawyer?
We can get a lawyer from. Same idea, okay? So there's a little bit of truth to that story, Rabbi Isai. There's a little kernel of truth. Every profession has its nisyonos. Okay, doctors, toiv shabroif from the Gehenim. What does that mean? It's a very insulting comment, right? Toiv shabroif. We all know every profession has its nisyonos. Torah, there are no it's hard. Adarab will tell me, Adarab, Torah, there's even more nisyonos. But at least in the ideal world, Rabbi Nohorai, Yoichal mischora ba'olam hazeh means it is a life of satisfaction. You are attempting at least the best that you can to involve yourself in emes. In emes, there is nothing more satisfying for the neshama than a dosage of emes. And that is the maila of schar ba'olam hazeh, the akeren, the principle, kayemes lo le'olam haba ushar kol umanus, einam kein. Kesh'adam ba lidei choyli rachmanu litzlan to choyli olidei zikna o lidei yisurin ve'ena yochel la'asoik b'malachtoi harehu meis bara'av. It game over. Avala Torah, ena kein, what this means really is very mysterious, what this means. Ela mishamaritoi, the zuchus ha'Torah keeps the person going. Mikol ra bina arusoi v'naisenesloi acharis, gives a person hope. The sikva, two different words which mean the same thing. Bezignusoi, benarusoi, mahu oimer, the koivei Hashem yachalifu choyach. Those that yearn for Hashem will be renewed with strength. Bezignusoi, mahu oimer. Here is the reason why we are mentioning this Maimer Chazal, because this is the pasuk in this mizmor. Od yinuvun b'seiva, d'sheinim v'rananim yehu, that in old age they will be fresh. They will blossom. You know, when we learn in Rashi, it means fruit. They will produce fruit in their old age. L'hagid ki yashar Hashem, tsuri v'lo yavlo sabo. Avoid zara nikreis b'lo shon pigima. Cherem, sheket, to'eva, pesel, masecha, elilim, trafim, atzovim, gilulim, shikutzim, chamonim. That's a lot of words. How many words? That's 10 words? And Michal, you counting the words? Pigima. Cherem, Sheketz, To'eva, Pesel, Masecha, Elilim, Terafim, Atzavim, Gilulim, Shikutzim, Chamonim, 12 words. 12 words. Shemoina Esra, Shneimasar Miyodeya. Shneimasar Aniyodeya. What? Not Shiftaya. 12 different words for Avodah Zarah. Okay, 12 different words. Each one of these words captures another element of the sheker, of the falsehood of Avodah Zarah. Now, how is it relevant over here to our pasuk? Avla mokim karu loshon shevach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is called loshon sheher, the corresponding. When he referred to the Ribbonai Shalayla, the opposite of Avodah Zarah, Lo Yilcha Elohim Achim Al Panai. What do we have? We have Kel, Elokim, Shakai, Tzivokois, Eke Asher Eke is counting as one, Chanun, Verachim is counting as one, that's really six, Erech Apayim, Verav Chesed Viemes, he counts as one, Chasin Ka, he counts as one, that's only eight. Okay, that's eight. And then Lahagid. Unless you want to break it up. But you have to, okay, he's not putting in the commas. The editor, for whatever the reason, is not putting in the commas, whatever the reason is. And the Omer Lahagid. And then the last one is Lahagid ki yoshor Hashem tsuri viloi avla sabai. There is no avla. There is no defect. There is nothing lacking. The word avla is a very powerful word to really try to understand what it means over here. Hakadosh Baruch Hu is called yoshor. Hashem is yoshor. Hashem is Tzuri, V'loy Avla Sabo. Contrast that to, contrast those concepts of Yashus, of an absence of Avla, the fact that Hashem is Tzuri, He is my rock. Those concepts are the opposite of the 12 words which all express defects and things that are lacking in, that are found in Avodah Zarah. Okay, we ran out of time. We did over here to at least the Midrashim. Okay, so we're going to have to spend a little bit more time on Monday. And Yirat Hashem, let us take a short break, and we'll do some things on the Parsha, Parshas Parah.
I have some tickets here for my great-grandfather. Feel free. I want to see him drink it.